Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good morning, everyone. We're back here on Wednesday morning with Radio for Your Mind. And I tell you, it has been just a downpouring week down here on the Gulf. We've had rain every day, but I tell you, it's beautiful. When you get up each morning and you go out to the beach and you just look at the water, you see what Mother Nature does. You see what God has created. It's just beautiful. You know, today we're talking about the law of solid ground and the fact that trust is the true foundation of leadership. You know, John Maxwell's always said, everything rises and falls on leadership, and leadership is nothing more than influence. Well, you cannot influence a person's life if you cannot build trust. Trust is the overall key. You know, we don't build relationships, we don't keep communication with our kids. And you guys have heard me over and over talk about, you've seen on the blogs, the fact that when trust is broken, leaders leave companies. You know, they either launch new companies, they move to a different company, they go everywhere. Trust is truly the foundation. And if you don't trust your leader, if your leader doesn't trust you, it's a two-way street, then there'll be no foundation. You will, as a leader, you'll never see your business grow. It will just always stagnate. You'll be sponsoring more people. Your attrition rates will be high. Very few people will stick. And it's a sad day in life, but that's what's happened. The same thing rings true if you're just getting started. You know, if you don't have trust, if you haven't built some type of influence and you have that change in your pocket, then people won't come to you. They will not gravitate to you to join your team because they will not trust what you have to say. You know, and I see that Mark has joined me this morning. Mark, how you doing, my man?
Doing great. Doing great.
Awesome. How's the weather up your way?
It looks like it is fixing to rain, which means it's just the perfect day, Chris. That's the will of the greater power.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. You know, that's the fun thing. Mark and I are on two opposite coasts of the United States, so we actually get to enjoy the weather together. But Mark, as you and I have built our relationship, you know, and I think back to that first conversation that we had and where we've come from now, would you agree that our relationship has sustained and grown because of trust more than anything else?
It's definitely that. You know, you're talking about, you know, what Maxwell talks about, the solid ground. People have to be able to know that you are credible. You know, it's that old saying, you know, from that old Aaron Tippin country song, you have to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. How many times have we called each other's attention to that in regards to something that looks like it's upside down in the world?
Oh, that is so true. And my friend, you sound like you're in a wind tunnel. It's kind of hard to hear your voice.
Oh, sorry. The connection's not that great.
Yeah, that's okay. Just wanted you to know that. But Mark makes a good point. You have to stand for something. You know, and when it comes to leadership, you can't take those shortcuts. You know, a lot of leaders want to take shortcuts. They don't stand for something. Matter of fact, they probably have a pretty sore crotch because they keep trying to be on the fence and everything. And no matter how long you're in a position of leadership, people want to know that you stand for something. You know, when people watch my videos on the internet, there's never a question on where I stand on an issue. When I talk to my kids, they know where I stand on an issue. Mark and I have done three-way calls. He does three-way calls with me, and I do them with him because I know where he stands in our primary company. You know, you as a leader, your team, those people you're surrounding yourself with, those people you're trying to attract, they have to know what you stand for. They have to know without a shadow of a doubt that you're a leader that they can trust. And if some of you are sitting there saying, man, I'm brand new, I want to build trust, but how do I do that? I tell you, it's very simple, and you can write this down. It's by consistently just overflowing, I guess I would say, competence and character more than anything else. If people know that you're a competent leader, you can still make mistakes, but if they know that you're competent, if they know that you've got the character to say, you know what, I screwed up, I made a bad mistake in this case, we need to change direction. If they know that, they'll trust you. You'll be able to build a team, a solid team around that. That's the key. You know, it reminds me, Mark, of a story of General Schwarzkopf that I read years ago. When he took over in Vietnam, they gave him the worst battalion in the Army. I mean, literally the worst. There was racial division. There was just a lack of discipline and everything. and one of his very first trips from headquarters out to the field, he flew in a helicopter and he landed. And out in the middle of a minefield, one of the black soldiers had stepped on a mine and blew his leg up. And everybody was standing around waiting. They didn't know what to do. And General Schwarzkopf basically walked out to that young man, picked him up, and brought him out of that minefield. He did not wait. He did not say, oh, my gosh. He knew that if they didn't get him out of there, he was going to die. And he risked what most generals wouldn't think is worthy of risking, and that's for one of your troops. He risked that. And by the time he got done leading that battalion, it was the most decorated battalion out of Vietnam. That's true leadership. He built respect. He built loyalty. His team knew that they could trust him as a leader. You know, how many people, Mark, have you attracted, do you think, over the years to your team, and they've stuck? Even if they didn't make any money, they stuck it out with you out of trust more than anything else because they knew you wouldn't lead them wrong.
Almost all the time, if somebody was just here for a quick buck, they're the ones who would leave. But everybody else is stuck. It's amazing. You know, the loyalty is incredible. So when you see that, you have to count your blessings every day because you know you never know when they'll get fired up again. So just keep working with the ones who will, and don't. You know, don't forget about them, just the other ones. Just keep them plugged in as best you can into trainings and calls. And, you know, call them once in a while, not frequently. And just let them know you care.
I agree with that. And, guys, you know, when you do that, when people see that you're competent, then they're going to start looking, okay, what's their character like? And you might want to write some of these down. Because this is what character in a leader will provide. And this is what your team overall will be looking for. Number one, character communicates consistency. They automatically know that you're going to be consistent. Day in and day out, they know what to expect. It's what makes that trust so possible. People want that. The second thing that it does is character communicates potential. You know, when your team understands that there's a huge potential, that as you grow, they're going to grow. As they grow, you grow. It's a two-way street. All of a sudden, they get excited and they're hanging out with you. You know, talent alone is not enough. It's going to help you, excuse me, it's going to help you out, it's going to help your character, but in the end, it's the character that you have. It's what's inside of you that's going to count. And that's what you've got to remember, because if you're not portraying that to people, they're going to run the other way. You know, character will communicate respect. When you don't have character within, you can't expect to earn character on the outside. You know, people look at that, and we've said in the past, and you can see this in the book, Developing the Leader Within You, that as you grow in your potential as a leader, you're going to attract other leaders to you that are going to be at your level or below. And if you're not growing or you stop to grow and those leaders underneath you continue to grow, they're going to leave. They're going to go somewhere else. This is one of the problems when you see a breakdown in trust and communication between a corporate leader and a field leader. There are several times in history that I can show where field leaders had a larger potential of leading a company than the person that held the title CEO. And sometimes those field leaders ended up being asked to go into the home office and help lead. Other times they bought the company outright. Other times yet they just flat left and went to another company, took their team with them. You know, my friend Orrin Woodward, just a dynamic leader, and over the years has built a substantial team of other leaders who have gone out and collectively together, they have attracted literally hundreds of thousands of people into the network marketing arena. Some of them stay, some of them go. But it's that leadership that Orrin has, that he has continued to pass down and mentor in others, and then they've continued to pass it on and mentor it in others, it's allowed that organization to consistently grow no matter what they do. And they've only been with two companies, Amway and Monavi. But yet they continue to spur off other leaders. And network marketing, guys, is not about compensation plans. It's not about products. It's not about companies. It's 100% about personal development. And Mark, how have you seen that over the years? You know, products come and go, but what about the leadership? What about the personal development you've seen?
Well, it is personal development. You have to keep working on yourself. The better you develop your leadership skills and your character, the more you'll be able to help others. Then when you help others, you'll get what you want. And it's a paradox that the more you do that, the more you help others, the more you get. But it's a fact. You can make a ton of money in a company that's you know, mediocre compared to others because you have that loyalty factor. And Troy, I can see, you know, how this book is built in one chapter upon another. You know, Maxwell said in an earlier chapter that, you know, leadership is not a position. What a position will do is it will buy you the time to prove your worth. So how do you prove your worth? You keep developing as a leader. You keep developing that trust. And so that you have to constantly be working on yourself.
Well, that's absolutely, and it is the trust. You know, I go back again to General Schwarzkopf. Here he is busting his butt out there in Vietnam. But back at home, there was a lot of miscommunication. There was a break in the public trust. You know, the Watergate scandal took place, and that was the beginning of the end. You know, that's where the opposite party, at that time the Democratic Party, you know, really nailed the fact that, hey, you know, we've got people in the White House, we've got people in government that you can't trust. And all of a sudden that permeated down into the troops. And as troops started coming back from Vietnam, they were called all kinds of names. And it was sad, you know, but Robert McNamara, who was the mastermind behind those last years in Vietnam, you know, when he wrote his book, he made it very clear it was that break of trust. It was the fact that we lost the trust of the American people that caused us to withdraw from Vietnam. And guys, that should play a really significant role for us, not the actual event, but what happened. The fact that we can look at history and see where powerful leaders who earned the trust of the American people were able to get into power, were able to run the country, lost it because they broke the people's trust. When you break the trust, you break the support. You know, I guarantee you that's what happens. The trust leaves, and then the support leaves. And that, my friends, will cause your, no matter how big you look, no matter how great it looked like you were going, you will end in a nasty way when that trust is gone. You know, we can't sugarcoat this. This is one of those foundational laws that works true. You have to have solid ground. You know, today was the fifth year anniversary of when Ivan came through and nailed our city. It was $100 million worth of damage that we sustained, more than any other county in Florida. I watched houses ripped off their foundations. I watched multi-million dollar mansions devastated and fallen to the Gulf of Mexico because they were not built on strong foundations. And folks, when you think about this for a second, you start to realize, you know, that just like a home on sand, your leadership's the same way. I could go down that day. I'll never forget, we got back in, the National Guard led us back onto the island, and we saw some of the houses and the devastation that was there. But then we'd drive not a quarter of a mile down the road, and you would see a beautiful building just standing out all by itself on its pillars because the sand had been eroded around it to where you couldn't even, they had to put planks to get over to it. They had to dump millions of pounds of sand, however you say that, back in. But the concept here is because it was built on pillars that went clear to bedrock, even after the water, the surges, the wind, everything that came through, it was standing strong when some of the buildings around it would crash and fall and crumble. It's that foundation that will allow your leadership to grow. It's the foundation that has allowed Mark to not just have a successful career in network marketing, but also a successful career outside of network marketing. It's what's allowed him to raise to the level of leadership that he has within the Chamber of Commerce and on his little village, the little township on the island where they live. You know, guys, this is what it's about. It's what's allowed Jim Gilhouse to receive a phone call and have people say, we want you to be one of our pilots that will train the soldiers that are getting ready to go to war. I want you all to understand something about Mr. Gilhouse. He's an independent contractor. He does not work as a military personnel anymore. He's retired. And even though he's retired, they called him in to train our troops. John, who's also our co-host, you know, Johnny's the same way. Young, 29 years old. And he got a call from Mr. Gilhouse. And Jimmy said, Johnny, I need you because you're one of the best students I ever had, and I need you to be able to train these kids. And he's passing that on. He's starting to build a brand new legacy. You know, strong leaders understand that they have to pass it on. You know, one of the greatest movies, I think, Mark, in current history was Top Gun. Because you see this ragtag, snot-nosed, egotistical kid that could do crazy things in a plane. And then he loses his best friend, and he goes through that self-reflection time. Then he goes out, gets in a dogfight, and of all the things that he could do, he says, I want to go back, and I want to train other Top Gun pilots. Folks, if you're a leader in this business, and Mark, when I get done here, you can tell me if I'm right or wrong, but if you're a leader in this business, your number one goal shouldn't be how much money you're going to earn. It should be how many people that you can help grow to become the next best leader in your organization. Mark, is that right or wrong? I think we probably lost Mark there, guys. But that, you know, the key to it is to be able to continue to duplicate yourself, not in the way that we hear some people talk where it's all about the duplication, but literally about being able to go out there and have somebody emulate the trust, the character, the foundation. You don't want a bunch of robots. You want those individuals on your team's personalities to rise. Because if all you did was recruit people like yourself, eventually your team would die. You'd run out of people because you're not going to attract every personality. There's plenty of people. Matter of fact, I joke a lot with the founders of Yoli because they have such diverse personalities. And if you're on this call, it doesn't matter to me if you're pro Yoli or pro Zango, since those two companies are kind of connected there. But my purpose with this statement is the fact that you have six individuals that came together to build off each other's strengths. It reminds me of the beginning of Zango when Zango launched, and you had the same thing. You had five different types of leaders that came together in their strengths, and their strengths made up their weaknesses, and they made a team that could sustain and that could grow. Folks, that's what you have to do if you're going to have a solid foundation. You've got to look at your frontline general and say, who do I want to attract on my frontline? Who do I want to be in business with the rest of my life? You've heard Mark and I talk about this because we're firm believers that the three-foot rule is all skewed and most people don't understand it. You want to put people on your team that you want to be in business with the rest of your life. And I'll give you some things that you can think about when you're sponsoring people. Would you want them to just come over and hang out in the house with you, meet your wife, meet your kids? Would you trust them that if the good Lord took you home, that you could leave them in charge of your finances and they would always put your wife and your kids first? These are the heartfelt questions that you ask when you're out there sponsoring people. One of the reasons that I don't hang out with certain people in this industry is because my values and my ethics are different. I believe that it's about the quality of the person, not the quantity of the people. It's not about how many friends you have on Facebook or how many followers you have on Twitter. What matters is, are those people following you because you add influence and you add value to their life? When you can say yes to those things, then you build a team. You know, when Mark got his promotion in the chamber to second vice president, it wasn't because he was bigger than everybody else. It wasn't because he had more money than everybody else. It's because the influence that he had put within that organization, he earned the trust and the respect, and they said that's where we want him to be at. That's the key here, folks, when you're building something, you know, and you're growing, and it's continuing to build in the way that it's supposed to build. You're gonna be out there, and people are going to say, it's not too late for me to join this company because I see a leader who's still out there doing what's supposed to be done. And, you know, one of the things that I like, because I just brought a new person in on one of my teams, is that he did some due diligence and checked out other leaders and got a feel for what other leaders said about me. Then he made the decision of where he wanted to be at, and that's when he came in. And I think that's the key here, folks. It's your leadership. Each day when we get towards the bottom of our 30-minute hour, we try to look at how can we apply this to our lives. And I want to talk about that for a minute. You know, and you guys can get out a pen and paper and write this down. Number one is, how trustworthy would your followers say that you are? You know, that's a question that you have to ask yourself. How trustworthy would my frontline leaders, would my team say that I was? You know, how can they measure your trust? You know, are you transparent? Are you authentic? You know, I was talking to a leader yesterday who was frustrated because within his company, he can't see where his income comes from. They just give him a check. And that flustered him because he had added it up and he thought his check should be more than what it was. You know, so you got to ask yourself, how can they measure your trust? How open are you with them? Do you let your leaders know? I know we've got this old adage in network marketing that, you know, positives down, negatives up, and that's great, but let's be realistic. If you're having an issue and you need help from one of your leaders and you know they've got a strength there, hey, call them up and talk to them about it. We're not talking about being a dull, negative, disillusioned crybaby. We're talking about building a trust, building an organization, building a team that you can rely on. And if you can't rely on them, they're never going to be able to know that they can rely on you. Are they willing to reach up to you when they have bad news, when they have something going on in their life? Are they afraid to call you because you tell them that's an excuse? You say, don't tell me you don't have the money. If you really wanted to do this, you'd find the money. It cracks me up when I hear people say that. Because most of the time when people are saying that, they've never had to go through a situation in life where money was so doggone tight that you had to watch where it was being spent. And it's humorous because it's those type of people that when something bad really happens and they have a financial situation that they can't afford to take care of, they look around and they have no friends to reach out to. And sometimes they end up going nuts because they've never understood. They never took time to empathize with people. You know, how do your colleagues and your leaders view you? How do your crossline leaders view you? Do they see you as a trustworthy leader? Are they willing to send people to your training calls knowing you're not going to try to cross-recruit them into your organization or into another company? These are the things that you have to ask yourself on a daily basis. You've got to get the answers. How do you measure the trust of other leaders in your organization? How do you measure the trust of the CEO, the president, the founding distributor? Let's take this a little personal. How does your wife measure her trust in you and vice versa? How does your kids measure your trust? You know, I got a phone call this morning about 5:30 from Dalton, my 19-year-old, saying, Dad, can we eat breakfast? And we get to do this on a weekly, every other week. We just have a wonderful time together. And it's fun just to chat because not only is he my son, not only has he been able to learn how to measure my trust and vice versa, he knows that I don't sugarcoat anything with him. I tell him exactly what I'm thinking. But we also have open communication and we've built a relationship, a friendship that goes beyond. He's my business partner. I know that if something happened to me today, that he would make sure that all the money that is in the accounts, all of the savings, the stock, all that, that it would still be taken care of, that he'd make sure his mom and his siblings were okay. This is when you build trust. Sometimes it's with your family, sometimes it's in business. The second thing you've got to look at when you're wanting to apply this to your life is you've got to realize that most high achievers invest their time developing their professional skills. They go out and they seek high competence. They go out, just like I'm going in 2 weeks up to Catalyst to get filled by greater leaders than I've ever dreamed of being. But they also focus on their character. The leaders that I will go talk to in a couple of weeks in Atlanta are leaders that are above reproach. They're leaders that keep themselves protected. You know, it's fun when I watch Franklin Graham, Billy Graham's son, just a year ago, come in. He came in and you'd have thought he was a godfather from a mafia family because he surrounded himself with 5 different people. And he learned that from his daddy because Billy said, you know, I see all these other preachers who end up in trouble when they go out on the road and they end up, with infidelity, or they end up, you know, doing stuff they're not supposed to do, and I'm going to keep myself accountable. So he surrounded himself with men he could trust. And Franklin does that. You know, and his character shines through. You see that. You know, so you've got to ask yourself, you know, is your character shining through? What are you currently doing to develop your character? What are you doing to make sure that you're staying above reproach? That's the kicker. Guys, when you don't do that, it's a mess. And I would recommend three main areas, and I get this out of John Maxwell's book. Number one is the integrity. You know, you have to work and make sure that you're a person of integrity. Number two is the authenticity. People have to know who you are. Because when they know who you are, they know that you care, then they want to know what you have to say. And the third area that you need to work on, I mean, we all do, is discipline. You need to be disciplined in everything that you do. Don't be doing it half-heartedly, halfway, or anything else. You know, don't shave the truth. Don't tell white lies. Don't fudge the numbers. Just be honest. Be truthful. Even if it hurts, just be open and honest with folks. If you develop authenticity, it'll work. You will grow. People will trust you. People will understand specifically where and who you are. And number three, if you've broken trust with others in the past, then your leadership is going to suffer. You've probably already seen that your leadership has suffered. But what you can do is make things right. They may not bring you back, they may not come back onto your team, you may not be able to mend the relationships, but if they know that you've changed, go apologize. Tell them you're sorry for hurting them or betraying them or whatever. Mend the fences there. Get some restitution inside the relationship. Keep it going. And then commit yourself to earning their trust or re-earning their trust in some cases. See, the greater the violation, the longer it's going to take. That's the key. That's why some relationships are broken. That's why sometimes you'll see people cheat on each other, and the first time out it's easier to fix, and then they do it again and again and again, and before you know it, the relationship is gone. You see kids that they see their parents aren't often authentic, so they don't become authentic, and the next thing you know, the relationship is trashed, it's gone, it's over, you know, because they've just learned to lie their way through everything. There's no authenticity. Folks, you don't want that in life at any level. You know, you want to make sure you're doing things correctly. You want to make sure you're doing things right. You want to build that trust. You want that solid foundation underneath you. It's a must, 100% a must. Tomorrow, it's going to be fun. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking about the law of respect. People naturally follow leaders stronger than themselves, leaders that they respect, they honor. You know, not in respect, I want you to know something, give you a little segue into tomorrow's call. Respect has nothing to do with age. There's leaders out there that I respect and I follow who are younger than I am. I have leaders out there that follow and respect me who are older than I am. You know, respect is something that is earned. It's never given. It's not something you can fake. It's something that is earned. And when that respect is earned, whether a person joins your team or not, it's irrelevant. What will happen is you will have something and somebody in a relationship so tight that it will weather the storms that are out there. It's what we all crave as part of our human nature. It's what we want from our relationships with our spouse and everybody else. And I see we've got Mark back. I'm going to turn this on. Mark, we got about 90 seconds, buddy. You want to take us out for the day?
Well, one thing I have to do is learn not to trust the phone whose battery I haven't charged well enough. But yeah, you know, you can lose trust in a minute. Maxwell, you know, highlighted a situation in the chapter where he had thought he had the trust of an organization, so he just, you know, made some decisions arbitrarily, and it cost him trust for a long time. He had to make amends, make atone for it. So most people are of a forgiving nature. If you make a mistake in those ways, own up to it, admit it. People will forgive you, and you move on. But it's a constant process. Work on yourself every day. That's why we have these calls every day, Troy. I look forward to them, like taking my vitamins in the morning.
Oh, that's it right there, my man. Well, folks, have a great, great day, and we will see you tomorrow. Radio for your mind. We'll talk to you soon.